This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
To go ahead and talk about Philly's chances in the Super Bowl. Vegas says it's going to be an interesting one. We'll see what WIP Night Show host Tom Kelly thinks on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk about the game. But did want to mention real quick, heard your update coming back. You guys don't want Ben Simmons. All right, just a heads up. I know he's meeting with the Cavs. You don't want Ben Simmons.
I kind of do.
Yeah, I kind of do, too. Tell us why not, Tom. Is he just that much of a headache?
Yeah. I mean, he can't shoot. He quit on the Sixers a few years ago. Maybe just our personal experience, but not the biggest Ben Simmons fan in Philly.
But, like, other than that.
other than all that, he's great. Yeah, other than all that, he's perfect.
So can you just tell us, because you've got now, I believe, three Super Bowl appearances in the last 8 years here. It's the Friday before the Super Bowl. What's that like? As a Browns fan, I have no frame of reference for this, and really nobody does.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable that we're in this spot for the second time in 3 years because, hey, like, for a lot of my life to start out, the Eagles were pretty bad. I didn't see them in the Super Bowl till 2004. Obviously, didn't win one until that one in 2017. But yeah, I mean, the team has been built really well by Howie Roseman. It's incredible they're in this spot. And facing the Chiefs again, and they were so close a couple years ago, and we're all just hoping they can get over the hump this time on Sunday.
Do you guys like argue over whether or not Jalen Hurts is good at quarterback or not?
Yeah, we do that pretty much all the time because it's been, and I know it probably seems crazy, especially coming from you guys and what you've seen in Cleveland, but it's been such a weird year with this offense and with Jalen because they are so reliant on Saquon Barkley, and Saquon's been so incredible this year. Where Jalen hasn't been asked to do a ton, and honestly, he's probably regressed as far as throwing the ball. The question, though, here is, like, can he do it when the Eagles need him to do it or if they need him to do it? Now, everybody feels a lot better after the NFC Championship game. He was tremendous in that game against Washington. But I think the big question here is, like, if they're in a shootout on Sunday and they can't shut down Patrick Mahomes and Saquon's not going to be able to, like, lift them completely all the way, can Jalen carry them? And that's something that's been highly debated. I think people feel better about the NFC Championship game. But it's one of those things that we have not really seen this passing game win a game for this team this year. And it's still a question of whether that's something they're going to be able to do if they need to do it.
Tom, I'm actually a Jalen fan because that Super Bowl 2 years ago, I thought he got robbed of the Super Bowl MVP. I don't give a damn that the Eagles lost that. He outplayed Mahomes, and Mahomes was no slouch in that game. So you speak to the regression. What has caused him to not look like that same player? Because that whole season, plus that Super Bowl, he looked like a top-five quarterback across the board.
Right. Well, again, it's weird, and I think part of it is the function of being on such a dominant team, where they, like the Eagles, after the first 4 weeks of the season, they were 2-2. and Jalen had a decent amount of turnovers, and his biggest issue last year was turning the ball over. And I think an emphasis after their bye week in week five, and the first game they played after the bye was against the Browns, was they didn't want Jalen to turn the ball over anymore. And he's done an unbelievable job at not doing that, at protecting the football. But it's almost like it's gotten to a degree where he's so adverse to taking risks sometimes that at times it feels like it's holding the offense back. And to this point, I mean, he hasn't needed to do it. And they've been able to win in other ways. They haven't needed to throw the ball all that effectively. And that's the big question is, like, can he do it if they need him to? And it's one of those things where Jalen's such a weird player because he deserves a lot of credit for, I think, you know, managing the game the way that he has this year and taking a backseat, because part of that's on him to sacrifice. He's sacrificing numbers. You know, he's sacrificing taking shots down the field for the betterment of the team. It's just finding that balance between when to take shots, when it's okay to be aggressive, and at the same time not turning the ball over. And it's one of those things where it's just been very – weird to watch, but it's worked for this team the way they've been doing it.
All right, Tom, stay with me on this one. But like the way I view the Eagles are, you know, like Thanksgiving, some families, they get in like big arguments, and usually that's pretty problematic. I feel like the Eagles are the family that gets in arguments, but when you get in arguments, you're like, I'm home. Like, this feels good. Is that, how does this work for the Eagles?
Are you just talking about the city of Philadelphia, or are you talking about the Eagles?
With the Eagles. How does it work for them? They're constantly, it seems like you guys are constantly fighting. Seems like nobody likes anybody. You guys are reading books on the sidelines. And then you are the one team in the NFL that can continue to thrive that way.
Yeah, and it is kind of appropriate with the city. I mean, that's what we do. We're always yelling at each other. We're always fighting. And it does seem like that's the way it goes. And when this team has been faced with adversity, that's when they play their best. I mean, after the Carolina game, that was when A.J. Brown comes out in the locker room and he gives a one-word answer about passing being the team's biggest issue. And Brandon Graham on his show the next night on WIP is ripping A.J. Brown. And you think, okay, well, this is a great season. It's about to fall apart. They come back the next week against the Steelers and they play one of their best games of the year. And it seems like they've rallied together earlier in the year. Nick Sirianni, the game against the Browns where the Eagles won, but it wasn't impressive. Sirianni's getting into it with the fans on the sideline. I mean, people are calling for his job to that. It was to that degree where the frustration from last year, the way things started, the players rally around him and they end up really turning the season around. So it is weird. It feels like they thrive off of dysfunction at times. And it's been one of the strangest seasons because there has been this kind of turmoil. It hasn't been smooth sailing. But then you look at it, they haven't lost the game that Jalen Hurts has played start to finish since September. So it's been a crazy year here.
All right. It might have sounded like I took a shot at Philly. I meant that out of love. And so it might sound like I'm taking the shot at Nick Sirianni. I also mean it out of love. There are so many times you look at that guy and you're like, what a dodo. And then he's got like a 7.04 winning percentage in his career. Is he a really good coach? Like, is he a truly great coach? Or is he just blessed with one of the most ridiculously well-built teams in the NFL for the last 3 years?
Well, yeah, and this is another thing that's debated constantly. And I think he's just a really good coach. And, you know, he goes to the Super Bowl in 22. Last year, things end in disastrous fashion. And many people, myself included, thought it was probably the right move to make a change. I mean, they completely collapsed at the end of last year. They start this year 2-2. I mean, he shaves his head. He's yelling at fans. He's bringing his kids to the press conference after a week 5 4-point win over the Browns. And it's like, what's going on with this guy? But the players buy into the things that he's saying. Like, you can hear he has these certain cliches, these certain things that he preaches. And the players in press conferences and stuff repeat them. They seem to really buy into his message. And that's the thing. It's unconventional. It does look stupid in a lot of ways from the outside. But in the end, it doesn't matter what any of us think. It matters what the players think and whether the players care about him, players respond. And the players clearly really like the guy. And I think early in the year, he was making an effort to be more subdued, to not let his personality show as much. And the players went into him during the bye week and they said, if this is going to work, we need you to be you. We need the emotion to come out. And that's when the Browns game happened and all the craziness happened. But I do think the players really respond to him. And I think him not being as involved with the offense this year, being more of a culture guy, a connector in the locker room, has really been helpful. And I bought in. I think he's just a really good coach. And it's not conventional, but it definitely works for this team.
All right, I want to go a little nitty-gritty here, because what's the status with Dickerson and Juergens? Because I feel like Chris Jones up the middle, if the Chiefs are going to wreck you, that would be how they do it, as they were battling injuries last week. Are they better?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, they're both going to play. There's no question about that. Landon Dickerson said there's no way he's not going to start this game. The question is just how effective can they be and can they finish? Because last game, Cam Juergens didn't start. Dickerson starts at center. He injures his knee. Juergens has to come out and replace him in the second half. So I would think Juergens is the lesser of the two concerns. Like, I think he's going to be fine. He looked good in the second half of that game. He's had 2 weeks to recover. Landon Dickerson, I know for a lot of his media availabilities and stuff this week, he was sitting during them. I don't know how much that means, but that knee injury looked pretty bad to the point where he had to come out of the game at halftime. He could barely walk at the end of the first half of that Washington game. So they're both going to start, and I think they'll be all right. But Dickerson, I think, is definitely the bigger concern of the two.
Tom, how much are people talking about the refs? Because it sure seems like every team that has been beaten by the Chiefs wants to make sure they knew going in they couldn't beat the refs.
Yeah, and I'm not a ref guy, to be honest with you. Like, I look at it, and I know the Chiefs get a lot of, and Mahomes gets a lot of calls. I don't think that's a Chiefs thing, though, as much as just a great player thing. Like, great players are going to get calls. You know, Mahomes going to get calls. LeBron's going to get calls. It's just the way it goes. And the way I look at it is the Eagles can't put themselves in a position where that's going to determine the game. Like, the last Super Bowl, that was a call that was a ticky-tack call. Probably could have been let go. Probably should have been let go. But, I mean, I looked at that game, and I look at Jalen had a bad fumble. The Eagles gave up a punt return to set the Chiefs up inside the five. So I think if they control the things they can control and they play the way they're capable of playing, this game doesn't need to be left in the ref's hands.
Tom, I think this Eagles team is the best team that the Chiefs will play during this potential three-peat run. Obviously, you know a lot about the first Eagles team and now this one. Is that accurate, or do you feel like the first Eagles team was better?
No, this team's way better. I mean, and it's crazy to say because that team was really good, but this defense is so much improved, where the secondary that year really wasn't that good. The linebackers were just okay. I mean, to have Zach Bond this year, the guy has been unbelievable for this team. He's the best linebacker the Eagles have had in 20 years. I mean, you look at the secondary, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, these guys as rookies have completely transformed this defense. And, I mean, the biggest difference is on that side is having Vic Fangio. I mean, Vic Fangio coordinating that defense as opposed to Jonathan Gannon is a huge deal. They totally fell apart in the second half 2 years ago. And then you look at the offensive side of the ball. Guys, I can't tell you what it's been like watching Saquon Barkley this year. Like, I didn't think in this day and age in the NFL a running back could have this big of an impact. This guy's been the best player in football this year. I think he should have won the MVP even as a running back. And I'm convinced that he is just going to go off and he's going to have a monster game on Sunday. I know the Chiefs have a great defense. They don't allow a lot of rushing yards. But going from Miles Sanders to Saquon Barkley on offense is a massive deal. And it's been incredible to watch him this year. So, yeah, I think without a doubt, this team is better than they were 2 years ago.
Well, Tom, it's really, really good for our ratings when somebody's either really bad or really awful. You guys get one side of the spectrum. So enjoy Sunday, and we sure appreciate you, bud.
Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Tom Kelly there, WIP Night Show host on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about this Super Bowl. And I think there are differing opinions of what to expect and how amped everyone is for Sunday. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. If you listen back to that interview, I might have double-clutched on his name 3 times, and I've listened to his damn show before.
It's a great... Yeah, I grew up in the south side of Chicago, south side Irish, like very Irish neighborhood.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew 12 different Tom Kellys.
Maybe he'll be the face of Ireland football, like
everyone
the Pittsburgh
you run
Steelers.
Into. It was always, you're Tom Kelly? Oh, nice to meet you. Okay, great. I know what union you're a part of, and nice to meet you.
I'm just, because we went to the Irish thing, I'm half Irish. I'm so sick of the Steelers owning Ireland. The Rooneys have not been in the motherland since the 1840s. Why did they get to, they're probably less Irish than I am. They're probably less Irish than I am, and I'm half.
I don't know. I'm like, I think I'm 25% is what my 23andMe said
yeah,
I was.
I'll bet you they're somewhere between you and me. And they're just, oh, the Blarney Stone, we're the Rooneys. No, you have an Irish name. You're not Irish.
The promo video was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're
Go ahead, finish the thought.
I'm deciding where I want to go with this one.
Yeah, sure, sure. Take your time.
They're appropriating my culture. That's what they're doing.
Jeez, come
on
now.
With one team.
You act like you've seen the 23andMe of the Roonies. You're like, 1840. They haven't been back since 1840.
Is that
what they said?
Yeah, Art Rooney, the guy that founded the Steelers, his great-grandparents came over. He was born in 1901.
And that makes him less Irish for some reason?
Yes. Yes, they left like three famines ago. All right,
weren't there through the potato famine, you don't exist.
My family left after the last famine. We survived the famine and then left. Ergo, I'm more Irish than the Roonies.
Okay.
Ergo, that's Brown's country.
If you owned a team, maybe you would get to go.
Yeah. Oh, well, now I'm poor and more Irish than they are.
I don't think the Haslams are any bit Irish. Are the Haslams Irish?
Well, they haven't tried to invade Ireland and take it over like the Roonies.
You want to talk about a famine? I don't know where I was going with that. At some point, we're just talking, guys.
Maybe we should get back to it. But seriously, the Roonies taking over Ireland, like you left 200 years ago. Stop. All right? You're Americans. Like, just don't Bogart one country. I digress. And bleep the Steelers. Really, any other team could do this. I just really hate that the Steelers are synonymous.
I could tell.
Now we just need the Browns to take over Hungary.
We're going to a lot of different countries, and by we, I mean the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
Mac, you're gonna be a citizen of the globe by the time your job is done, traveling around with the Browns everywhere.
I'm trying so hard not to make a joke. You're going to really love it, buddy. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I'm going to pull my punch this one time with Mac. I am very happy for you. Enjoy Azerbaijan. Enjoy Australia. Enjoy Uzbekistan. You're going to go everywhere, the Cleveland Browns, and I'm very happy for you. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a nice way to say that after I bleeped all over the Steelers?
It was very nice. So, I sense some growth there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Not talking downtown.
Talking way downtown. I am so excited for this Super Bowl, and I'm like the only person.
Yeah. I could tell. Were you interested in my Thanksgiving analogy there? Did you see where I'm going with that?
Did you make the Thanksgiving analogy?
Yeah,
with
the
Tom?
Thanksgiving and the family. You made the joke, then it's like, oh, reminds me of Philadelphia.
I loved it.
Yeah, loved it. Okay. So the point being is that why does it feel like they just home for them is dysfunction? Like no other team should be able to operate this way, the way that they continue to operate, where every time they get in fights with each other, they just go on winning streaks.
So what I like about this, if I can play a little game of Spin City here, what I really like about this. Is every other team, if they lose to the Chiefs, immediately go to, I told the team beforehand, it was the refs, and we just couldn't beat the refs. The Eagles are going to be able to go in a different direction. I told everybody before the game, Chiefs aren't going to beat us, we'll beat ourselves. That's really the Eagles' excuse if they lose on Sunday. It is.
They beat themselves?
Is our dysfunction bubbled over, and we had one bad quarter.
No, because they've done such a good job of winning through adversity to the point where it's like it's almost like they're immune to it. This is the Thanksgiving analogy. People, the house gets torn upside down, everyone yells at each other, and most people can't overcome that. With them, it's like showing up and your family fighting and being like, oh, that's home. This is great. I feel comfort in the fight. They feel comfort in the fight for some reason.
Yeah,
They might be on too good of terms entering this Super Bowl is the problem.
Feeling too good? You think Sirianni needs to go around and be like, you know, you guys are talking to the same IG right?
Think about it. After they won the NFC title game, what was the big theme? It was Jalen Hurts saying his coach put him in a straitjacket. They won the NFC title game to the Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts still had problems.
I still think that'll be the Eagles' excuse. I really do. Because everybody comes up for an excuse for losing the final game of the football season. I think that's it. But I don't think we're talking about how interesting this is. One, it's a rematch of two Super Bowls ago. Two, I mean, two Super Bowls ago, Jalen Hurts outplayed Pat Mahomes, and that's saying something because Pat was pretty darn good in one of the best Super Bowls. Like, 2 years ago, that was one of the best Super Bowls we've ever had.
For sure.
And the three-peat angle. Like, honestly, I feel like even the three-peat angle has somehow been underplayed this week on Radio Row.
I wonder if we'll get more juiced up when it gets closer, but I've never seen so much disdain for Super Bowl conversation as what we've seen this week. And maybe here locally, we've been blinded by the Myles Garrett conversations and the DeAndre Hunter conversations. Did the morning show talk about the Super Bowl at all today?
I think they made predictions at the end of the show. That's as much as I remember.
I mean, most weeks you'd have 3 days worth of content off the Super Bowl building up into this, but I think there's just an exhaustion there from people.
Is it that it's like a villain versus a villain? It's not even like anti-hero versus anti-hero. Yeah. It's a three-peat of a team that everyone's so sick of. They blame it on their success to the refs and not the generational quarterback and maybe the greatest head football coach of all time and maybe the greatest tight end of all time and maybe the most underrated defender of all time in Chris Jones. No, it's got to be the refs versus the city that I think everyone, like, what's the nicest city do you think in America? Like, what do you think is, like, if we went to, like, it's the most Canadian town, no ego, so nice, so lovely, everybody wants to go back there.
Why can't I think of a nice city? What's your nice city?
I would have gone, actually. I probably would have gone somewhere in the Midwest.
Like Buffalo, maybe? Buffalo's really nice people.
Yeah, okay.
I've always really enjoyed
Buffalo.
Everyone
in Buffalo
people.
Thinks people in Philly are a-holes. Right?
Yeah, no, like, denying it. The country, we all think Philadelphia. Yeah, for sure.
Find the least judgmental people in America, and even they are like, those people in Philly, those Philly fans are pretty atrocious.
No, there are people that aren't rooting for the Eagles, aren't rooting for the Chiefs. They're rooting for the stadium to get blown up and both teams lose. Like, there are some people that are very against this game because they can't stand the Chiefs and what they've become, and no one likes rooting for the Eagles.
What have the Chiefs become, by the way? I'm not saying you're wrong, but you're right. This is how people are framing it. What have they become?
They're annoying to a lot of people.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're only annoying. Like, Mahomes is not hateable. The most hateable thing about Mahomes is he solicits contact and embellishes things to get but that's not why they're winning.
Yeah, but they were just in our face for a very long time. I mean, like, even the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift thing. I have family in Kansas City. I've always liked the Chiefs from a distance. And I like Taylor Swift a ton. But even that story, I'm like, please, it's just too much.
I think it's manufactured hate. I really do.
I don't know. I don't have an enjoyment for them. So like, it's not manufactured. It's just they get thrown in our face so much.
I don't
much.
Mean you, but like, yeah, that's what happens when you win. All the heat on the Chiefs, it's basically just tied back to they win a lot, and because they win a lot, they get a lot of advertising stuff, and one of their players is dating the most popular pop star in the last 50 years in music. Like, but none of that's inherently hateable.
Yeah, but they're also, they're on every single primetime game. We're just exposed to them in a way that I think we're not exposed to other teams.
It's
not their fault. It's just the reality of what we live in.
The Patriots had two cheating scandals. They had Deflategate, and they had Spygate.
The case I made for you the other day.
They had multiple gates.
Spygate, Deflategate, no, and they had a tight end that murdered someone. They were very hateable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did that towards the end of it. But that's hateable. Like, I'll be honest, my hate for Tom Brady, a little manufactured. Yeah, I don't like that he's a milquetoast personality. I dislike the fact he won 7 Super Bowls while my team won none. Like, there's not a lot. I got divorced from Giselle. Okay, I'm just being petty. Like, there's nothing inherently hateable about Tom Brady other than he went to Michigan, which, again, probably shouldn't carry over to the pros. So, like, that I can objectively say that's a manufactured hate. For the rest of the team, no, there was so much to hate about the Belichick. I mean, no personality, just a D, and a D to the media, and dismissive, and smarter than you, and a cheater.
I can't tell you how I got here. I can just tell you how I feel.
No. And again, it's not that you're wrong.
I think it might be some of the overexposure. I think it might be some of the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. I think it might be the idea that, let's be honest, Patrick Mahomes, from a statistical standpoint, not having a great season, all things considered.
See, I think that's, man, no, I'm not saying you're doing this, but I think people are like, Mahomes doesn't deserve it. No,
it's not Mahomes doesn't deserve it. It's just, it's a 15-win team, and people are acting as if they've run over everyone, and they've won 11 one-score games.
I don't think anyone's acting like they're running over. I think everybody consistently said up until now, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this way, and then they've just continued to win.
I think people are shocked that all this money is coming in on the Eagles right now, and by the time we get to Sunday, you're going to have it as a pick 'em.
That's fine. Keep that going. If, as a matter of fact, we could get the Eagles to be favorites in this, I would love that, because I could take...
No, it's going to get to a pick'em. They're 1-point dogs right now. It's going to get to a pick'em. It'll be about where it sits.
Put all your money on the Eagles.
The money's
right
piling
now,
in
listening.
Right now. The sharps are starting to really pile in on
Bring
the Eagles.
Bring it on in. Bring it on in. I don't even know what half the words you said. Bring it on in. Let me clean on up there. By the way, Bonjour Bob on Twitter, at Nick Wilson, says...
Bonjour!
At Jay Peterlin saying, I'm not the least bit excited with this Super Bowl. I know how it's going to play out. The Chiefs will win for the third time, and I have no interest in watching it. It's boring, and I'd rather watch paint dry. Why is... Okay, stylistically...
Is football fatigue a part of this?
No. No. The AFC title game...
We had added games.
The AFC title game proved football fatigue, and people using the first two rounds of the playoffs as justification for that was made up.
No, because, I mean, again, this is going to get numbers. It's going to get massive numbers. Yes. We'll complain about it. We don't want to talk about it. The numbers are still going to be there.
But this idea that, like, the Chiefs are boring, guys, think about every great team you've ever watched in history. The New England Patriots, two different dynasties, right? The Dallas Cowboys, two different dynasties. The 49ers, two different dynasties. The Steelers, the Vikings, the Packers. Like, think of all, and I'm saying the Bills, who went to 4 straight Super Bowls but didn't win any of them. No team has ever won 3 straight titles. You said
boring, though. That's different.
I don't think that's boring at all.
I have a disdain for him that I didn't have the previous 2 years.
I
don't think they're boring. I think Mahomes is wildly interesting.
I'm just referring to, like, Bonjour Bob. Like, the amount of people who are just, like, nonplussed at history. If this was like, the third three-peat, I'm with you. I would hate this, too. But, the tension for me on Sunday is going to be, can they do something? It's hard enough to win a three-peat in any other sport. It's literally not been done in the Super Bowl era.
Right.
The closest thing we got was Lombardi in the final NFL championship with the first two Super Bowls. So it's been 50 years. 60 years.
We don't
since
have to be captivated
this.
By all history. Think about it. We loved Maguire and Sosa in 66 and 70. We didn't love Bonds the same way that we loved Maguire and Sosa.
Yeah,
just because it's history doesn't mean we have to wrap our arms around
it. Yeah, but this is a first in history overall. Like Bonds felt like some sort of weird, goofy sequel nobody asked for what was pretty pure at the time, Maguire and Sosa. So, again, this isn't a sequel. This is an original box office. Holy crap. I can't believe. If you had told me at any point we would see a team win three straight Super Bowls, I don't think I would believe you because that's an insane amount of football. I mean, that is what, 60 games in 3 years? That is a stupid amount of football in a small, and to win at the level that they have. And there's a part of me that will enjoy watching the Chiefs lose. There is, because it would be funny, not funny, the funny's the wrong word. It would be interesting because everyone thinks, like Bonjour Bob, that the Chiefs are just going to somehow get a win and, pity party, and we're going to be, vomiting acidic rage at them on Monday. So it is more interesting if the Chiefs lose this game. But there will be a part of me that goes, this was the right team to do it.
No one's discrediting that. I'm not.
But there are people out there trying to discredit how impressive this damn thing is.
I'll love this for NFL history, and I'll love this for the reflection of NFL history, because I do think Mahomes is on a fast track to being the greatest the game has ever seen. So I want him to accomplish things that nobody else has accomplished. But it still rides in the idea that at this point now, and again, I hate the Eagles too, so I just hate everyone equally. But I'm just not there with this Chiefs team, and the way I was the last 2 years. Made a lot of money off this Chiefs team the last 2 years. Really started to like them, but something flipped.
216-474-0092. Cool Ray, stick there. Are you excited for the Super Bowl and NFL honors and Myles Garrett dishonor, allegedly? In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The NFL honors last night. Kudos to Josh Allen for winning the NFL MVP. Patrick Surtain won the Defensive Player of the Year award. Miles finished third. There's a part of me that I just don't love corners being the Defensive Player of the Year.
Why not?
I just think it doesn't feel right.
I'm with you in that.
Pass rushers are just infinitely more impressive. And this year, there are four pass rushers, you could say, had a legitimate claim. Everyone's talking about the Josh Allen thing like it's some sort of, it's like the Steve Nash, you've been really good for a really long time award. I kind of think
that's how I looked at it, yeah.
I kind of think that's the Patrick Surtain winning the DPOY. Well, I've already given one to Micah. I've already given two to TJ, one to Miles. There are flaws in each one of their cases. Let's give it to Surtain. And I hate that because I love Patrick Surtain Jr. I do, but is that a hot take?
There was no justifying it for in my mind for Hendrickson or even for TJ Watt. And
okay.
So I'm sure you looked at some of the advanced numbers when it came to TJ Watt and some of where his sacks actually showed up and everything like that. Like that's not a DPOY. That's not that season, you know? I'm perfectly fine with it going to a cornerback.
I think it's split.
Sertan's good.
I think it's split because analytics and traditional stats are starting to diverge when it comes to what's most impressive for a pass rusher. And I don't foresee this exact scenario happening again in the recent history. Like, I think this is a product of this year and that statistical divide that's happening.
Well, so last year, I mean, that was a PFF award that Myles Garrett seemingly won, right? Like, he beat out all the other people that had more sacks than he did, and the advanced numbers really kind of went to bat for him, right? I think the hard part for Myles was obviously being on the Browns. I think that really did hurt him. And I don't know, did it hurt Hendrickson the same way?
Probably. I mean, if it hurt Joe is fantastic. So we'll get more into the Allen versus Lamar thing, because it's not, I don't mind having a disagreement. I don't mind having a conversation. I mind what that conversation became overnight. But there was also the other biggest story of the NFL honors beyond Bill Belichick's, soulmate. I mean, that's just, they have to be. He's 73.
She's can't
the
believe
inverse of that.
She swerved into everything that we didn't want her to swerve into, though.
Yeah. No.
Like you could have fit the narrative pretty easily. Like, oh, yeah, we meet on this emotional level, and we're this, and we're that.
You just want it to be true love. That's wild to me.
I don't know why I do, but in my mind, I'm like, no, they met on this intellectual level, and this is great. And then she just dressed like a thought, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's almost like the simplest answer there was in fact the correct answer.
Occam's razor. It's 100% right. But, and then he gave her the Super Bowl ring to wear too, which also just made a lot of people mad for some unknown reason.
Yeah, well, she earned it.
I know. It's like
she's sleeping with a 73-year-old guy. She earned it.
God.
Okay.
The whole thing is just, it made it as creepy as you wanted to make.
I kind of hope he knocks her up. There's part of me that just thinks that would be. De Niro's got a kid. He's 80,
and it's not right.
Pacino's.
It's not right.
Why not?
You shouldn't have a kid past a certain age.
Okay. Ages.
That kid is growing up in an environment where his dad's got how many years left?
I mean, in fairness, I didn't get a whole life with my dad. My dad passed at 27 years. Dad passed. What year? 23?
Yeah, 22. Yeah.
All right. They were playing the long game. Look where it got them.
That was a roll of the dice that didn't work in our favor. Was all that was though. That's not. Wow. That wasn't because our. And my dad was old for having a child too. By the way.
Yeah, but my dad left me a lot of great memories, but no money. This kid's gonna get the keys to the Patriots dynasty.
This kid better really start to love the stepdad that he ends up having.
Yeah,
is what's gonna really have to happen.
I'm just gonna go say the stepdad's gonna be pretty well off too.
No,
she's not gonna go from Belichick to like Donnie on the Shore.
There should
okay?
be a decent understanding in society that if you're past I don't know what the cutoff is, like 55,
okay,
somewhere around there.
Keep talking.
I feel so strong and so good about this one. I'll keep talking all day long.
If you wanted to put it at 70, I might see your point. 55, I mean, it's the new 35. People are saying that.
Well, I told you, you got to knock off 10 years now. 55 is the new 45. 45 is the new 35. 35 is the new
73,
25.
It's the new 63. It's all good.
Still way too old to be having kids.
And now 24 is the new 34.
Way
Everybody's been saying that. It goes the opposite way.
Way too old to be having kids out here. Stop it, De Niro.
No, I think it'd be the funniest thing in the world. I do.
No, you just like chaos. You just like the ha-has. That's all that's happening here.
Yeah, I also do enjoy that.
You love the
yeah.
24 hours of jokes we'd all have at Belichick's expense while he doesn't realize what an absolute insane thing he's doing.
No, it's a win-win situation. He knocks up a 24-year-old, and let's just say traps her. She's not going anywhere after that. And so he gets the dream. We get another Belichickian out there, right? 50 years from now, he'll be hoisting the Lombardi. And we get to make our jokes. Everybody wins. No, yeah, there's no casualty in there.
While Steve plays as the real dad because he's the only Belichick young enough to actually
there's
take care
Brian.
Of the kid.
There's Steve and Brian. There's multiple Belichickian heirs.
Let me put the dark hat on for a second. Is there a chance that he swerved into this?
Show your work.
So Belichick knew that Snoop Dogg was going to make a joke at his expense. I don't think Snoop Dogg just blindsided Belichick with a joke.
You think Bill Belichick thought that far ahead about this?
I think you clear a joke with Bill Belichick when you're going after Bill Belichick at the NFL honors.
Okay. No.
I think you do.
No.
Fine. That's fine. Whatever. He had to assume. He assumed a joke was coming. You think a joke's not going to be coming?
That's a little bit. Yeah.
And so instead of being like, oh, we're just gonna make this, put her in a homely outfit and something that is just, she just walks down the red carpet and doesn't have any eyes turn or any attention. We do the exact opposite and we swerve into exactly what this is. And so when the jokes happen, they won't hit as hard because it won't be as shocking because clearly we all saw the red carpet.
I don't think Bill Belichick thinks
PR
that far ahead.
PR management 101 right there. He's got people to think ahead of him
I don't think Belichick thinks like that, and I don't think Snoop thinks like that. I don't think those weren't even Snoop's jokes. Couldn't he have hired a funny writer?
They probably hired someone like Nikki Glaser to go ahead and do a lot of the actual joke writing. That's why she was there.
I'm going to need you to mind your P's and Q's. Nikki Glaser had the funniest Ben Affleck joke I've ever heard. Whatever.
That's not a bad thing. She just gets hired to do all these different shows.
But the jokes last night were so awful. I mean, just dumb. Just ridiculous. Like, none of them were funny. They were all surface-level jokes. If you're going to be Snoop Dogg,
usually what that
there are
is.
Two things you pay for and pay for premium on if you're Snoop. One is the good. We all know the good stuff. Two is a good joke writer if you're going to do this. Come on now. I don't even know how the hell we got down this rabbit hole.
Not sure either.
We're going to ask what we should make of Myles Garrett's photo with Jared Goff and Aiden Hutchinson in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.